Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast on statistics for the social sciences. Apologies for the delay in getting this episode finished, but our discussion in this episode is really just about the terms that you have questions on and that you referenced in our discussion around clarification on statistics terminology. So I've got a few things I'm going to highlight in those discussions. I'm also going to point you to some different podcast episodes to get a better sense of some of the terms. And frankly, I'm going to put out a lot here where I clarify things you don't really need to know, because we come across a lot of terminology in this class. And honestly, there's a lot you don't need to worry too much about because of the fact that we're not going to be tested on it, nor do I expect you to have an intimate knowledge of those terms. I'm going to group this conversation into three general categories of terms that you've identified. The first is going to be around central tendency and the measures that kind of fall under that heading. The second is going to be around variation and the terms that fall under that heading. And then the final is going to be more of this kind of general understanding of, let's say, variables and inferential statistics and the words that apply to both of those. So starting with central tendency, I want to clarify central tendency just means we are talking about the middle of a data set. So how do we describe the middle? Do we use measures like mean, median, or mode to best describe the center of that data set? And often we tend to just use what is called the mean. The mean is the same in terms of calculations as what is labeled as the arithmetic mean in your textbook. But really, all you need to know about mean is that it's the average. Adding all the numbers together and dividing by that total count of numbers that you added up. That's all you need to know. Don't worry about distinguishing between some sort of different version of describing the mean, like arithmetic mean. Just know that's what mean refers to. Now, in addition to thinking about the center, we can also think about things like the normal distribution and where certain measures on that normal distribution fall. While central tendency is talking about the middle, other measures like percentile ranks are thinking about the breakdown of the values in our data set, not necessarily dividing at the middle. So a percentile rank is just a measure of how or what percentage of the data set falls above or below a certain level. So at the 75th percentile rank, the number of values that fall below that number is 75% of your data set, and 25% of your data set falls above that. Okay, so if I said you're in the 75th percentile, you scored as well as or better than 75% of the group. If we're talking, let's say, about testing, if you scored at the 25th percentile, you scored only better than or at the same as 25% of the group, which means 75% of the group scored better than you did. Now, percentile ranks come up to be something that we think more about when we get into later discussions of significance and normal distribution. But if you think of it that way, percentile rankings are just a way to compare a certain value against the rest of the group. So the central tendency might be the middle, but percentile ranks is telling you, okay, if I'm past the middle, if I'm below the middle, how much is below me and how much is above me? Okay, shifting now to talking about terms related to variance. Variance meaning how different are the values in our data set? Do they have a wide spread between them? Do they have a very large range between the largest value and the smallest value? Or are they clustered very close together? I just want you to think of variance, if it's easiest, as the spread of your data points, right? Is it a very peaked hill where everybody's pretty close to one another, or are these really widely spread out? Like, let's say SAT scores, which can range from 700 to 1600. That's a pretty big spread between the scores. So that is variance, thinking about the way the values in the data set are different from one another and just how different are we going. You can also use more of a visual example. I always like height as an example for thinking about variance because we can truly see it. If you look at classes in elementary schools, you're going to see some pretty big variance in height. Some students are going to grow very fast and be very tall at an incredibly young age. And some students are going to be like me, short for a lifetime. So in like my sixth and seventh grade class, you could see this wide range of heights between students. You could also compare it in a different way. Think about the heights of athletes versus the general population. Guys in the NBA are a lot taller than most people in the general population. I mean, when we're talking about 7 feet tall, that's really different from me at 5'4". That's got a wide range, a wide spread. Now, range we can describe in two different ways. The inclusive range, which means we count the full span of largest to smallest. So if it's going from 2 to 5, my inclusive range is 4. Or we could do exclusive range, which is excluding the last number in my value set, right? So I've got the lowest number and the highest number. If I do an exclusive range, it's basically like taking my highest number and subtracting my lowest number. For this class, when I talk about the range, I'm going to mean the largest number minus the smallest number, which is actually the same as the exclusive range, all right? If we were to do inclusive range, you would actually just count the numbers, including the first one and the last one, which is not the same as taking the largest and subtracting the smallest. Don't worry too much. Just think of range as including the largest number minus the smallest number, and that's what we get for our calculation. Don't worry about inclusive range, okay? Don't even worry about using the term exclusive range. Range is just the largest minus the smallest. Without a doubt, this next term is the one that most people struggle with, and that is the measure known as standard deviation. Standard deviation, I want you to think of as the average distance between any point in our data set and the mean. That's not technically exactly correct, but it's close enough. And there's a little bit of a distinction between standard deviation and mean deviation. Mean deviation, a term you do not need to know or use for this class, is calculated very similar to standard deviation. In short, what we do is we take the distance between a number and the mean, and we take the absolute value of that. So if it's a negative number, now it becomes positive. And then we would do the average, the adding of all of those absolute value differences and divide by the number of data points in our data set, and that would be mean deviation. Standard deviation and mean deviation are kind of both getting at the same concept of, if we had to think about kind of a normal level or average level of difference between one point in our data set and the mean for that data set, that would be the mean or standard deviation. But standard deviation does something where it divides by our sample size minus 1, which is what's supposed to give us an unbiased estimate. Now, unbiased estimates, another term that came up in this discussion or in the mentions of terms that need clarification, an unbiased estimate is a way of saying, well, we don't know everything about the population, and it's possible that our sample could be slightly off. So we're going to be more, let's say, conservative in our estimates about our sample. And by doing something like subtracting 1 from our sample size, we're actually going to get a number that is probably, all things considered, closer to the population number because we have a more limited estimate based on, again, a reduced sample size. It's pretty difficult to get into all of the math behind all of this, but if you Google unbiased estimate, what it's going to say is it's a statistical estimator whose expected value is equal to the true value of the parameter, meaning it has no systematic over or under estimation. It's incredibly complex here, okay? So unbiased estimates, that simple subtraction of 1 is giving us a chance to control for any weirdness or more control for possible weirdness in our sample. And that's what the standard deviation is supposed to be offering with that, again, n minus 1 in the denominator before we do the square rooting. So standard deviation, you square all the differences so that we eliminate the negative numbers and then we can add and divide and take the square root. Mean deviation says we'll just take the absolute value and then do the average. They are not functionally in like the actual calculation world all that different. But a standard deviation measure should be more unbiased than a mean deviation, although even in looking that up, I found different answers. Point for all of this conversation, know that standard deviation is roughly the average difference between any one value in our data set and the mean. And it's really not terribly important for you to know that, because what we do is we use that standard deviation to think more about really how spread out is our data. I'd encourage you to think of it more in these terms. If you have a large standard deviation, you have really spread out data, which means our data set values are pretty different from one another within whatever we're looking at. If I have a large standard deviation within my heights of my students, there's going to be a lot of tall students and a lot of small students, or maybe just a few on the ends, but the differences are going to be pretty extreme, maybe at the ends or maybe even within the data set. Maybe I just have a really big range of heights for my group. There's going to be a lot of difference there. If I have a small standard deviation, my people that I'm measuring or whatever it is that I'm measuring is clustered closer together. It's not so spread out. Okay, I hope that helps, but if not, do email me and let me know how I can maybe expand on this a little bit more. The last set of terms that were brought up were things like inferential statistics, variable stuff, scales of measurement, and what is known as operational definitions. I've already touched on unbiased estimates briefly. I don't want you to worry too much about that concept. I'm not going to be asking you to explain it or to fully understand it. It's fairly complex. And if you go into advanced statistics, they'll probably do a better job of getting at it than I did. But inferential statistics, this is us thinking about, okay, if we study our sample, what can we learn about our sample? And what will that tell us about our population? Inferential means we infer, or we take what we know about our sample, what we've described with our descriptive statistics, and we then apply that or infer and learn about the sample and think about how that would be a description or get close to an understanding of our population. We take what we learn from our sample, and as long as we've done a good job getting a random sample or a representative sample, meaning any number of individuals could be included in our group that we're studying, and that our sample is broken down in a way that's similar to our population, then we can assume that what our sample says is also true of the population. Again, infer means to basically take from what we do know and make conclusions about other things we don't necessarily get to measure or know firsthand. We're using evidence to make a conclusion about the larger group we're interested in knowing more about. All right, continuing with the conversation around variables. So a variable is, at its core, just something that we're measuring, and it can take on different values. That's why it's called variable, because it can have a range of values, or it can vary. If it's not something that's a variable because it only has one value, that is a constant. That's probably how you heard it discussed in school. The constant, which doesn't change, or a variable, which can take on different values and therefore it can change. An independent variable, if we are looking at a research question, is the thing that we're pretty sure is causing something else, or that we tend to think of as causing something else. My spending on Amazon tends to cause my bank account to drop. But there's other things that could contribute to that, of course. It's not the other way around, however. My bank account dropping doesn't necessarily cause Amazon spending. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. The independent variable would be spending on Amazon. The dependent variable there is the thing that gets affected, my bank account. And these can range, right? It's independent variables can be any number of things. We could think about where you're located and how likely it is you think you saw an alien spacecraft. You're probably not likely to necessarily see outer space or the skyline very clearly, let's say in the city where there's a lot of light. But you might be able to more clearly see it out in the country. So our independent variable there might be, where are you located? And our dependent variable is, well, how likely are you to have seen some sort of identified flying object, right? A UFO. That is a really interesting and weird research question, but it's also an illustration of independent variable versus dependent variable. Now, it's going to get more confusing in the social statistics when we talk about questions where it could work either way. So one of the classic examples that comes up a lot in this course is thinking about, let's say, drug use and mental illness. Is use of a drug leading towards some sort of mental health issue that might look like a mental illness? Or is mental illness leading to drug use? You can actually see it either way. Both could be the independent variable and both could be the dependent variable. And that makes the relationship between the two more confusing. But technically, each could be a cause that leads to the other. In social statistics, when we come across that, it's really difficult to know which is truly our independent variable and which is our dependent variable unless we know timing. If one came before the other, then we generally would think the first thing that came along would be the cause. I will say on that question of drug use and mental illness, we've actually found there are some drug-induced mental health situations or mental illness diagnoses, but it's pretty rare. It seems to be more likely that mental illness leads to drug use. So it's more likely that our independent variable there would be mental illness and our dependent variable would be drug use. Our final two terms that were asked about that need clarification, the scales of measurement and operational definitions. Scales of measurement is something I describe pretty heavily in the episode on correlation. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to that episode, please go back to that because I do spend some decent amount of time talking about those scales, the difference between nominal, ordinal, interval, and ratio. But if I had to boil it down to just a pretty quick description, a nominal level of measurement means we only have names or categories. An ordinal level means we have the names and categories, but there's also a ranking or an order to them, like freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, versus a nominal example like political affiliation. Democratic, Libertarian, Republican, those don't have any natural order, they're just groupings. Whereas the freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, there's an order or structure to it. An interval variable is something that can go below zero, and it's usually measured in numbers. It's pretty much standard in numbers. So the example there is temperature. Temperature can, of course, go below zero, as we know here in Nebraska where I'm teaching, and it can also absolutely be above zero. It's just that it's got a set interval between the different levels of the measurement. So 1 degree difference from 20 to 21 is the same as 1 degree difference from 80 to 81. A ratio variable is quite simply that type of measurement, but there's a zero that's meaningful. It's called an absolute zero. So your measure can't go below zero or mean anything below that. Go back to my example of height. A person cannot be smaller than 0 inches tall. It's just not possible. And in fact, when we're born, we're much larger than that. So thinking of it that way, a ratio, think of the last letter there. Oh, there's a zero and it means something because we can't go below that, whereas an interval can. If you have further questions about the levels of measurement, do contact me, as this is something I'm definitely going to bring up and ask you about on the midterm exam. Last but not least, we have operational definitions. Now, this is going a little further than I have in past classes because I generally don't ask folks for operational definitions, but we do consider it when it comes to your research paper. At its core, an operational definition specifies how we measure something that is a variable. So if I am measuring height, my operational definition would be something like explaining that I'm going to measure height in terms of inches by using a ruler, or more likely a tape measure. That gives us specific steps to measure that variable of height. Or maybe we're trying to measure something a little more abstract, like aggression or depression. We start with that kind of concept, and then we have to define how we would know when we see aggression. So we would say, well, this kind of behavior, when someone, let's say, acts violently towards, let's say, property or a person, that would be one way of measuring aggression. It could be we're going to ask questions, and with the questions we're asking, when we get this type of answer, we're going to call that aggression. We're essentially trying to spell out the description of something in ways where we have procedures to measure it, okay? It's a little bit difficult, but it's essentially saying, if you were going to measure this thing, how would you do it? I want you to think of it that way. And it's harder to do with more abstract things, particularly in fields like psychology. That's going to be difficult. How do you measure depression? How do you measure sadness? How do you measure empathy? Those are very vague concepts, but we have things we're going to say we're going to look for to know whether that is there or not. Okay, that concludes my discussion of the different terms for clarification for this week. Please do contact me with any follow-up questions or concerns you have, and I look forward to hearing from you when you have the chance to reach out. Everybody, have a great rest of your day, week, weekend, wherever you're at, and I'll connect with you again soon.